fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Oh, baby! They can't block Calais Campbell.
Steps up, throws left side end zone. Roberts caught it.
No way!
Touchdown, Cardinals!
From Cardinals headquarters in Sarasota, Florida.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Darren Urban.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Cardinals Underground. This is Darren Urban on azcardinals.com, and I know a lot of people are going to be really disappointed. There's no Ron Wolfley this week. But I think we've upgraded significantly with the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, Steve Keim, and I just want to say thanks for coming on, Steve.
Thanks, Darren. I think you hit it on the head. It's going to be extremely hard to fill the shoes of Ron Wolfley, one of my idols and legends in the state of Arizona. But I'll do my best.
I appreciate that. We're off to a good start here. Unfortunately, it's been a little rainy here in Sarasota, Florida. I was hoping for it to be a little more sunny, I suppose, and I'm guessing you were too. But this whole week, when did this come to fruition in terms of when you guys decided? Was it when the schedule came out? I mean, kind of how did you decide that you guys wanted to stay back here?
Yeah, I think, we did it a few years ago. Matter of fact, the year we went to the Super Bowl, we stayed on the East Coast and played back-to-back games with the Redskins and the Jets. So when the schedule came out, Bruce and Michael Bidwell and myself, we talked, and it just seemed like logistically it made sense to stay on the East Coast, keep our players on a time zone that was a little more friendly to their bodies, and give them a chance to stay over on this side. And, those games at 1 p.m. East Coast time are tough on those guys when they're having pregame meal at essentially 6 a.m. with their bodies feeling it. So, just to get acclimated to the weather over here, I think it was a good idea.
Does your job change at all when you're out here? I mean, obviously you're on the phone a lot no matter where you are. I'm sure your dress is a little bit different than maybe if you were in the office all the time. But essentially, does your job change when you're away this much?
Well, it makes it difficult when you had a weekend like we had with so many significant injuries because you're having to shuttle players in and out to a foreign location. And then it brings in different logistical challenges like getting these guys physicals, getting them to different hospitals to be looked at to make sure that the players we're signing are in fact healthy and ready to go. So there are some challenges that it presents, but I think we've done a pretty good job and all of our support staff is on top of things.
That leads me really well into the next thing I want to touch on. I mean, obviously, the Cardinals have suffered a couple big injuries. Lorenzo Alexander, Sam Acho, out for the season, unfortunately, and you guys are thin at linebacker, so you need to make some moves. So from your perspective, could you kind of take us through the process, even all the way to the point where in the game where you're first hearing about guys getting hurt, through the point of when you look at players and bring them in, kind of what goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah, it's pretty extensive. Obviously, you have to be ready for any of the injuries at any of the positions that may come up. So we keep a ready list, and it's extensive ready list of players at every position, both categorized as veteran players at the position and then also practice squad eligible players. So we obviously need a little depth there as well. So as soon as there is a significant injury, we find out from Tom Reed and our medical staff the loss of time and the length that the player is going to be out. And then that takes us to the ready list where we have to make quick decisions on the run. And that's why we put in so much preseason time with our player evaluations and looking at other players on other teams. So we're ready to go once there's an injury that occurs. And this past weekend, obviously losing two of our starting outside linebackers, we had to make a few quick decisions. Brought in five players to have physicals. A few of those guys medically did not check out, and then we had to go with the guys that were healthy and we felt comfortable with.
When you start doing that ready list, you've got some pro scouts obviously out there. That's a constantly evolving thing, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, not only do we have our pro scouts, but we have a group of eight college scouts who, during the preseason, are assigned different NFL teams that they have a list of guys who are either on the bubble or are rookie players that they're constantly submitting reports on. So we have a pretty vast index of players and preseason reports that we can go off of, as well as, you know, with technology these days, you can search a player and watch every snap in the preseason. So Jason, Light, myself, when we want to just take a quick look at a guy, it's pretty simple.
When you're watching video of whatever you're watching at the time, percentage wise, how much video are you watching of this team, and how much of other things, whether it's college players or other players on other teams, to see what you got? How would you break that down?
Well, probably at this point of the year, because the college players have only played a few games, haven't jumped into that full steam yet. That'll probably come a little later in the year. But you spend a significant amount of time looking at players on other teams, possible trade scenarios. You obviously have to study our team inside and out, and really make decisions on, you know, weekly roster cuts, where we're going to need to cut a player, our current depth, and then obviously dealing with the injuries is a major issue.
When you get to this point in the year, it's still fairly early. When you're looking at the roster, are you thinking long-term at this point? Are you thinking about contract extensions or whatever it might be? Or at this point in the season, is it more of a shorter-term, very 2013?
No, I think you have to look at short-term and long-term. I mean, we're constantly updating. We have a three-year view, we call it. Mike Disner and myself have a three-year view, which is really it gives us an idea of under the next 3 years, where are we at from a contractual standpoint, and then also with with the salary cap. So there are going to have to be some tough decisions to be made after the season based on, you know, the numbers. Just looking at the three-year view, you know, I think we're going to have to obviously make some tough decisions like we did this past year after the season because, you know, the one thing that probably fans and people don't realize is there are certain contracts where you're binded and you can't do anything, and then you have the dead money factor. But I think once we get into 2015, I feel really good about where we're going to be from a salary cap standpoint.
You mentioned the tough decisions. You've been in this business a long time, and it's said so often that it becomes cliche that tough decisions are made, and it is a hard business. Do you find yourself, has it been, I don't want to say easy, but has it been okay for you in terms of making those decisions? Did you know what you're getting into as you become GM, or is there a part of you that's like, wow, this is even a little harder than I thought it could be?
Well, no, I mean, I think I you know, being here prior, I had an idea of some of the challenges that we were going to be faced with. But I think, you know, once you look at the long-term stuff, I think you get frustrated because you feel like you're handicapped to some degree. But you know, that's what you get excited about, being in the position to make some of those decisions. And you know, it was hard because you develop a personal relationship with these guys. The one thing philosophically that I've always said, though, if I had this opportunity, is I always felt like it was more important to get rid of a player a year too early than a year too late, because I think when players hit a certain point in their career and they start to decline, it can really have a negative effect on your football team. And I think if we do a good job of trying to continue to infuse young talent here with upside and to continue to develop players, I think we have a chance to improve the roster over the next few years.
When you look at this team over the first three games, what have you liked about this team, and what would you like to see get better?
Well, I like the potential because I do see some things on tape that excites you. I think, obviously, if we can keep the pocket clean, I like the way Carson delivers the football. Obviously, very accurate, good ball placement. One of the top concerns to play off that would be the fact that he's taking too many shots, and when quarterbacks take too many shots, they tend to look at the rush and get frazzled. And you know, if we can keep Carson clean for three or four quarters, you know, I think we have a chance to play with anybody. Particularly with our skill set on the outside at receiver. Defensively, I would say this. We made quite a few changes on that side of the ball. Early on, the lack of consistency has concerned me, particularly when it comes to tackling. Because there, when you watch our tape, you see this past game against the Saints, six sacks that we could have had that we didn't finish. And then also in the passing game, when we're talking about shorter plays, not explosive down the field plays, stuff like whether it's a swing route or it's a back out of the backfield running an angle route, 3 or 4 yard gains that are turning into 16 to 25 yards that we're giving up because we're missing too many tackles. So I think there's some talent in place that just needs to continue to improve and play good football and learn how to finish. And once we learn how to finish on both sides of the ball, I think we'll be vastly improved.
Okay, and last thing, I've often wondered about this, and I've seen different GMs kind of handle it differently. You know, coaches get a chance on game day to be an intimate part of the process. It's not quite the same for you. What is a game day like emotionally for you as it goes along?
It's interesting because it's a roller coaster. It's one of those things that you get to Sunday and you say, well, there's nothing else I can do at this point. But you know, there's times where you're frustrated, you get mad at yourself, you swear that you're never going to do certain things again. But it's still working atmosphere. You know, Michael Bidwell, myself, Jason Light, we all sit together in Michael's suite, and we constantly talk about our team, ways to improve, conversations that I'll probably have with Bruce after the game, that things I saw that maybe he saw differently. And I think that's how you grow and you get better, is to take different opinions in and to look at things from different viewpoints. It's fun. It's exhilarating, obviously, when you win. And after the Detroit game, you're so fired up. And this week is such a week-to-week season. You know, after you lose a game, the sky's fallen. And then after you win a game, you know, everything's great again. So once we get back on track and we beat the Buccaneers this weekend, I think we'll all feel pretty good again.
That's perfect. Hey, I really appreciate the time. I think there's a possibility that Ron Wolfley could have been Wally Pipped if you weren't so busy all the time. So I really appreciate you coming, Steve. So thank you very much, and hopefully it'll get a little more sunny. And for Steve Keim, I'm Darren Urban. This has been Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com.
Well, the Jolly Roger pulled through and made it to the land. We disembarked, went into town with a vengeance in our hand. The children cried, the women sighed, the men would turn their heads. So with a smile we chanted loud, and this is what we said. Whoa, whoa, whoa.